You're listening to 89.1 KMUW. Folk musician John McCutcheon recently released his 39th album, Ghostlight. The veteran singer recently spoke with KMUW's Jed Bodwin about his inspiration for the album.
It started one Saturday, granddaughter Grace, mother and brother, and her at our place, the whole
I wanted to start by asking, this is album number 39 for you. So kind of an obvious question, but did you think that one day you would get to album 39?
Someone had to point it out to me. I just do what I do, and, you know, I'm always one album ahead when I finally start talking about the one that people like you call up about. I'm in the middle of album number 40. So, no, I don't guess I ever really thought about it. I realized early on that my record company, for many years, Rounder Records, was giving me complete carte blanche. I mean, they didn't even ask for demos of the songs. I would just say, hey, I've got this idea for doing this album. What do you guys think? And they'd say, when do you need the money? And I know now what a special kind of gift that was. No, to answer your question, no. I never thought I'd do 39. And well, it was always one at a time.
You also, of course, wrote a song that was about events that have been on a lot of people's mind over the last year, The Machine.
He sat there on his front porch beneath the clear blue sky. In his 92nd year, as the crowd went roaring high, the signs, the chants, the shouts, the rants, the flag he knew too well, he slowly shook
his. Can you kind of tell me a little bit about where it happens that you see something going on in the world, and then how distant is it between when it happens and when you pick up the guitar or the pen?
Well, sometimes it's right away. It's visceral. It's an act of rage or catharsis or profound sorrow. In the case of The Machine, this concerns events that took place this last August in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I have a long and deep history with Charlottesville. I lived there 20 years, longer than I've ever lived any place in my life. I raised my children there. So I knew the area, I knew the statue, I knew the place at the university that we saw the torch rally. It's a small town, 35,000 people, and I was horrified and heartbroken by what happened. Well, the genesis of that particular song was about a week or so after it happened. I was playing at the Philadelphia Folk Festival and had been asked to participate in a Songs of the Times workshop, and thought, well, golly, maybe this is an opportunity to write something about this. It's certainly fresh in everyone's mind. And I chose the voice of a World War II veteran witnessing these things, someone who had, you know, who had fought the Nazis, who had liberated concentration camps, who had an intimate view of the evil that was marching down the streets of Charlottesville. And in an age when the term fascism is kind of cavalierly tossed around describing people that you disagree with, I thought that this fellow's perspective and history had a kind of moral heft that ought to be given voice, because that certainly wasn't a generation that I was here and asked about this particular situation.
I no longer wield the weapons that I did in my youth. What I have to offer now, memory and truth. No one can sit idly after what we've seen today. Either stand up and be counted or get the hell out of the way.
Let's take the title song, Ghostlight, which I just love the narrative in this track.
I work here in the wings, pull the curtains, run the lights.
Well, that was one of the last songs that got written. But as soon as I wrote it, as soon as I started writing it, I knew it was going to be the title of the album.
Lock the backstage door,
I do again what I have done 1,000 times before, set the ghost light.
I was driving to one of the songwriting camps I do in East Tennessee, and I purposely take a long route there because it goes through the North Georgia Mountains, and I love that area, and it's just a pretty way to get any place. And I was listening to some little community radio station someplace, and there was a young woman on there talking about working at a theater, and she talked about the ghost light. It's a light that I have seen in theaters my entire life. Most audience members never see it. Before the theater is closed up at the end of the night, a single unshaded floor lamp is put in the middle of the stage and is turned on. And it's obviously some kind of superstitious act, but I've seen it everywhere in the world. And the first person that shows up turns it off and moves it. The last person before they leave turns it on and puts it there in the middle of the stage. And as a performer, I'm often there early enough or late enough to see it. And I never knew what it was called.
It finally happens, and I am no more. I will be the ghost that light is shining for. I think.
But I also have spent an awful lot of time with those people who work behind the scenes of the events that have thrust me quite literally to center stage. And I know that without those people, people like me can't do our job. The audience out there can't get to enjoy it, and they seldom get the attention or the appreciation they deserve.
Well, thank you so much for your time, John.
Yeah, well, thank you.
It's the first thing that I turn off, the last that I turn on. The ghost light when everyone is gone. The ghost light.